Please silence all electronic devices.
I'm sorry, folks. I don't trust them, and our folks don't trust them.
There is a great deal of overreaction from those who are criticizing this legislation. They will see me in court. You know, if the General Assembly were really trying to do a power grab, there's a lot of things the General Assembly could do, and we weren't.
And they don't have a very good track record there.
Any further discussion or debate?
It's Friday, and time for a look back at the week in state politics. With me today, as they often are, Becky Gray, Senior Vice President with the conservative John Locke Foundation, and Rob Schofield, Executive Director of the progressive NC Policy Watch. So they showed up in a sea of red, thousands of North Carolina teachers flooding the streets outside the General Assembly, demanding higher pay, more spending per pupil, incentives for advanced degrees. They wore red T-shirts with slogans like Save Our Schools, Respect Public Education, and adopted the Twitter-friendly name #RedForEd. Teachers rallied on the same day the legislature opened its short session to make adjustments to the two-year budget. Becky, a good day for public school teachers in North Carolina?
You know, I think it was. It ended up being a very positive rally. It was almost celebratory. You know, teachers, it was almost as if they wanted the opportunity to say, you know, we really care about kids. We're in this together. I think lawmakers responded. I mean, you know, all reports of everybody that was downtown that was part of this, particularly those in the legislative building, was all very positive about how respectful everyone was and how cooperative and how, you know, people really were looking for conversation and dialogues. I think it was a good day for public schools. I think it was a good day for teachers. I think it was a good day for members of the General Assembly, and for those of us that watched it on television and have been reading, and I think we're going to continue to, I think it was a good positive message.
I spoke to the building administrator at the legislature, and there were no arrests. There was some raucous chanting during the sessions in both chambers, but actually the president of the NCAE, the Educators Association in North Carolina, asked everybody to quiet down. It was really not about disrupting the business at the legislature as much as making a point.
Right, and it seemed to me, too, that legislators were able to express their opinions, inform people what had happened with teacher pay increases, increase in education spending. Teachers were able to relay their concerns. I think it was a positive. All in all, I think it was very positive.
So, celebratory atmosphere, Rob, but what about the issues and what about the politicians?
Well, I mean, first of all, 20,000 people don't come out just to celebrate on an event like that. People are angry. They are frustrated with the chronic underfunding of our public education system in North Carolina. That message was repeated over and over. I thought the stories from the individual teachers to whom I talked and to some of the people in our office, and our NC Policy Watch reporters talked to, were incredibly compelling. People telling stories. They were the mantra we heard over and over is, I'm here for my kids. I need better pay to survive. All these so-called pay increases I've gotten have been eaten up by increases in health insurance for the most part. I'm still lagging way behind the rest of the country. Our class sizes are out of control. But I'm here mostly because of the kids. And that's why they became teachers in the first place. So that was a very powerful message. I thought it was, you know, the fact that we had politicians initially, like Representative Brody, calling them union thugs, Senator Berger threatening or claiming that it was somehow akin to a strike, was really energizing to the teachers. They were angered by that. They were put off by it. I think the legislators had to back down and eat their words to a certain extent, because when they were confronted with the reality of who these people are, what they represented, what they stood for, they had to recognize that they had a powerful message to deliver, and it was one that needs to be respected.
What about the power of that message, Becky? I mean, you've got not only the call for higher pay increases and the per pupil spending, but incentives for teachers who get advanced degrees and that keeping teachers from leaving North Carolina. Do you think the message was heard? And who scores the bigger political points? You have Governor Cooper saying, hey, let's get rid of a tax cut for the wealthy to help fund these initiatives, and the Republicans saying, we're giving you a salary increase, but not doing anything with that tax cut.
Well, a couple things. I think that there was a common theme from the teachers, from the people that were there, from legislators and others, that this is about the kids, and we care about the kids, and how do we ensure that kids get what they need in the classroom? This year alone, teachers are getting over a 6% pay increase. This will be the fifth consecutive pay increase. Over this span of these pay increases, that's an average of a 19% pay increase. Spending on education, 57% of our state budget is on education. We've always had a high priority for education in North Carolina. This conversation and this question of funding? Is it enough? How do we do this? How do we allocate the money? It's one that goes back decades, and it's going to continue. This is a conversation that needs to continue, needs to happen. I think, you know, kind of going back, was it a good day for public schools? Was it a good day for politicians? I tell you who I think it was a very bad day for, and that's the NCAA. They clearly have now claimed, as many of us have known for years, they are a union. They operate as a union. I think this was a last gasp effort for the NCAA to be relevant. I think clearly teachers see they don't need a union in order to be heard, to be respected, to be welcomed into conversations, and to get pay increases and to get money, funding. That, you know, they can do this by meeting with their legislators, by having these kind of conversations.
Rob, I talked to NCAA President Mark Jewell about this, and he said, as far as he was concerned, union is not a four-letter word.
Well, of course not, and it was a great day for the NCAA. I mean, what other group can turn out 20,000 people in an unprecedented demonstration in downtown Raleigh? And the reason they were able to do that was because you can't fool these teachers. They can do the math. They know that these so-called pay increases that they've been getting in recent years were merely helping them keep up with inflation, and really not even that. When you adjust for inflation over the last decade, North Carolina average teacher salary is down 5.6%. Classroom sizes are 5.3% bigger. I mean, those kinds of hard statistics, you can't fool the teachers. And the NCAA recognized that, mobilized these people and brought them out. I mean, I thought it was a tremendous day for that organization. What other organization could pull that off? And so I think it's going to have long-term positive consequences, both for the NCAA, whether you call it an association or a union, whatever you
call
it.
It's a union. They have called themselves a union.
Great. It'll be a great day for the NCAA union. And I'm sure that they couldn't have asked for a more successful event. And it'll probably help their membership, and they'll probably have a very successful November.
Their membership has gone down dramatically over the years.
Well, they've been systematically attacked by the General Assembly.
I think the teachers that we talked to and the teachers that we saw and the messages that we heard are teachers are talking to their legislators. I think one of the things that I'm most encouraged about is kind of see these lines of communications open, in that legislators really want to hear from these teachers. They want to hear from these people. Teachers really found a very receptive audience. You know, we also learned things like complaints and concerns about school construction funding is really a county commission function. And so, you know, as teachers said, we need more money for school construction, the answer was, you know what, county commissioners, that's who you need to go talk to. So what I'm hoping that we see from this is more open dialogue, that we have teachers petitioning county commissions, local governments, their LEAs, asking for explanations about where this funding is going, and then also more open dialogue with legislators. I think it's healthy. I'm not sure that we had to do this on a school day. I mean, I kind of go back to that. You know, school gets out in North Carolina, I think it's June 11th, maybe some school systems with snow days, maybe a little give and take there. But, you know, I would, if there's one complaint that I have kind of looking back, I wish that they had waited until school was out to do this. But all in all, I think it was a positive experience.
And it should be noted, it was timed, again, with the opening of the legislative session, looking at the budget, and there might not be a better time to make.
Well, the budget will likely be done by the end of the school year. And Senator Berger and Representative Brody, who called them union thugs, were all too happy to meet with school choice advocates when they came in January and shut down their schools, and there wasn't any problem there to meet with teachers or to celebrate their being present. I think it's important to keep in mind this whole attack on unions idea. If this had been firefighters and police officers out there who were organized in associations, it would have been really interesting to see if any of the Republican lawmakers would have called them union thugs or talked about strikes. I think that this was a powerful day for collective organized action by workers, and I think it had nothing but positive effects.
Let's move on from teacher pay and school spending to school safety. Republican lawmakers in the General Assembly introduced a host of bills this week aimed at improving school safety, money for more school resource officers, an anonymous tip line for students to report bullying or other violent threats. Rob, are these kinds of measures the kinds of measures that people are looking for in the aftermath of the Parkland, Florida shootings?
In some measure, sure. Yes and no. I would say that they are helpful insofar as they go, for the most part. I think we have some concern about being careful with the school resource officer idea and just turning them, you know, they need to make sure that we're not just turning them exclusively into law enforcement officers. But of course, what's being ignored here is the elephant in the room, and that is access to easy guns. That's what's at the heart of the debate that has followed the Parkland tragedy, that's followed the Las Vegas tragedy, all these mass shooting tragedies we've had in the United States. We know for a fact that these tragedies don't just happen in schools. They're going to happen in all kinds of venues. It's great to make our schools a little bit safer, but the obvious thing that's being ignored here is access to easy mass-killing machines, assault-style weapons, no background checks, all those kinds of issues. The fact that we're not making even a hint of addressing those issues is a huge failure.
Becky, is gun safety, gun regulation a missing component in the school safety initiative?
You know, Rusty, I think everything needs to be on the table. I think this is a serious issue that we need to take seriously. I really commend the General Assembly for doing that, having this study committee, hearing from lots of people, coming up with recommendations. I mean, goodness gracious, just this week we've seen, what, half a dozen bills introduced that would address the school safety issue. Thought it was interesting. There's a Civitas poll that was just out on Thursday of this week, and one of the questions that they asked, and this is, you know, Republicans, Democrats, unaffiliated, young, old, I mean, it's a wide spectrum that they ask. The question was, in your words, what would be the single best way to enhance school security? Interestingly enough, 43% said security guards, more armed guards, police resource officers, those kind of things. More, you know, as we've seen these bills kind of focus on that. Only 8% said stricter gun laws, and only 5% said get rid of guns entirely. 2% said funding for schools, more money for schools. So I thought those polling results were interesting, that the public, the people that are being asked about it, are clearly saying security guards are the way that we ought to look. The General Assembly, from the study that they've done, that's one of the areas they're going to be looking at. In addition, doing some risk management plans. What do we have in place? What's already there? Doing some vulnerability assessment, some audits. You know, where are we? Do doors need to be locked? Do, you know, what kind of security things can we do with the buildings that we have right now? So I think we're moving forward with this. I think that it's a good debate to have, and I think that lots of things need to be on the table. I think just to go in and say, you know, get rid of guns, you know, is not, I mean, that's just not going to solve the problem, and it's not a viable answer.
And
people
no
across North Carolina, only 5% say in response to that,
nobody's
get rid of guns.
Get rid of guns, Becky. I mean, the Civitas
even stricter
is a far-right adjunct of the Republican
they poll
Party.
People across,
nobody takes their polls that seriously. And, but,
they
but
polled
I'll take,
people across. They
I
polled over 600 people.
I understand what they say about their polls.
I mean,
just
to dismiss it because you don't like the ideology is ridiculous.
And not to dismiss the reality that an overwhelming majority of North Carolinians support stronger gun control laws. Nobody's saying get rid of all guns, but they are saying that assault weapons should not be sold. They're saying that we should not be selling guns without reasonable universal background checks. I mean, come on. That's just silly. Nobody's suggesting to get rid of all guns.
Security and building up security seems to be the overwhelming idea on the table now, but it's not just, this isn't going to be a one idea fix all. There's not a silver bullet to this.
I do wonder if you ask a prompted question that says specifically, do you think more gun control would help school security, what the answer would be. You
right,
might get a very
right.
different outcome.
You could. I mean, I think this was a fair question. In your own words, what would be the single best way to enhance school security? I mean, I think that's a fair question. Right.
GOP leaders in the legislature unveiled an economic development plan, changes to the Job Development Investment Grant, or JDIG program, establishing incentives for companies that invest at least $1 billion and create 3,000 new jobs. Becky, will this be the lure that top legislators say it will?
You know, Rusty, full disclosure, I am not a big fan of these big or small economic incentive packages. I think that for government to single out a particular sector, a particular size of business, a particular industry, in some cases particular companies, I think it's a foolish way. I think it's a foolish expense of taxpayer money. I think the better way to incentivize businesses to come to North Carolina is do exactly what we are doing: lower taxes, fewer regulations, spend money on infrastructure, you know, ports, roads, buildings, access off the interstate. Make sure that, you know, if you're coming to North Carolina and you're making stuff, you can get it to market. Well-skilled workforce. That's what companies are looking for. I'd rather see us take all these millions of dollars that are spent on these silly projects, these silly economic incentive packages, and put those towards, again, you know, lower taxes, fewer regulations, invest in infrastructure, well-skilled workforce, and then let the market forces take over.
I agree we need to spend more on education, if I think that's what you're saying, Becky. I totally disagree that taxes are the reason that businesses relocate. We know for a fact that taxes are way down the list. We know that incentives, I generally agree that in many instances their incentives are a waste. However, we do know that they can make a difference in some select areas where we've got struggling communities, where we've got the right protections built into the incentive plans. Unfortunately, as it's turning out for the most part, we're locating these big new economic developments in North Carolina's in areas like the Triangle. You know, we're hearing about Apple maybe coming to the Triangle. Well, the whole notion of they refer sometimes to these in the law as transformative projects. We've already transformed the Triangle. That was transformed a long time ago. We do need to transform some of our rural areas in the state. We also need to create jobs for people who are former blue-collar workers. We have a lot of people with PhDs and advanced degrees, and that's fine to create jobs for them. But if that's what Apple's talking about, if we're talking about giving money to Apple to come to the Triangle and pay people with advanced degrees, I'm not sure that's the kind of transformative project that, say, an auto plant might be in a rural area where you'd have a supply chain and all kinds of other businesses that would be built into it. So bottom line, incentives can be helpful in some limited circumstances. I'm not sure tweaking the law so that we can get Apple to the Triangle is probably that good
of an idea.
Yeah, and
of course, in the press conference that they had this week, they said that these changes are not proposed to attract any one company. But, you know, as Rob said, I mean, a lot of people saying, you know, this is, you know, the rumor is, and, you know, I'm always afraid to do that, is for Apple. But it would be for companies that would commit to invest at least $1 billion and create 3,000 jobs. So you're obviously going after the big fish. Now, I don't know what those are. Again, I just think this is money that's foolishly spent. I think the better thing is to, you know, as Rob said, you know, make those investments, invest in community colleges, that well-skilled workforce. You know, a lot of people are going back for second careers. There's all kinds of opportunities that way. Businesses will figure out what a great environment we have here in North Carolina. We don't need to bribe them to come here.
Well, we've gone from fiery debate to common ground. We should end there and say happy Friday and have a good weekend. Becky Gray, Senior Vice President at the John Locke Foundation, and Rob Schofield, Executive Director of NC Policy Watch. Thanks.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.